The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 15th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, what a nice day it is here in Sonoma County. It's kind of cool coming over here to the studio. But I want to wish everybody, like I do for the whole month of January, Happy New Year 2024, wishing all my fans and listeners a prosperous, beautiful new year. Lots going on in the world, lots to think about, but we can still have joy and happiness and appreciate that we are here living on this beautiful planet and have another day to do all the things we have to do. You know, it's real interesting because it's also in the Chinese New Year on February 10th. New Year's comes in, and it's the year of the dragon, and it's so interesting because I'm a dragon, and my grandson's a dragon, and my daughter's a dragon, so we're three very, very powerful people, and it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about it. Well, I have a special show, you know, happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King. Joining me in the studio today will be Tina Rogers. She's a historian, and she'll be filling us in on what happened at the birthday celebration that happened last night. I had was very excited. I watched the whole thing, and it was just a wonderful event. You know, they had a little technical difficulty here and there, but that's what it is. We live in a very technical world. And it's amazing. I really love the theme this year. It's called The Radical, King, The Radical. We must learn to live together as community or perish together. You know, that's a very important statement. The king, the radical, we must learn to live together as community or perish together. And also joining me in the studio is a very, very special person, Layla Parrish. She's a senior at Rancho Cotati High School and also president of the Black Student Union. I mean, young people today, 17 years old, young people today, when I was 17, I was worried about what color my hair was or what dress I was going to wear if I had a boyfriend with a car. But it seems that the world has definitely changed. And that students are becoming more and more aware. And I'm really honored that she's here because she's going to share. She was the winner of the speech for the Martin Luther King celebration, and it was inspired by title of the event, King, the Radical, we must learn to live together as a community or perish together. You know, and it's really interesting when you start thinking about it. It's so true. You know, united we stand. It's real simple. United we stand, divided we fall. I mean, I remember hearing that when I was just a young woman. You know, united we stand, otherwise we fall. I mean, it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about it. And on some levels, we're falling, and we have to really start looking at it. Well, today is also a federal holiday honoring Dr. King. I know lots of you are out there today shopping and lunching with friends, which is, you know, of course, fun. But for many of us, you know, especially in the community here in Sonoma County, to honor Dr. King's birthday, an event is sponsored by the Community Baptist Church in Santa Rosa. And let me just turn the page here, Ken. It's called Not a Day Off, a Day On. And I think that's a real interesting concept when you start thinking about it, because what it is people get together, particularly at the Community Baptist Church, and they do service. Because that's what Dr. King was all about. He felt that to serve was the highest level of spirituality that you can reach. I mean, two things I remember about him that are very, very, very important to me. One was the idea of service, and the other idea was that all the protesters and what was going on at that time, all they were asking was that America live to her promise, which was equality for all. You know, it's a very, very interesting idea when you start thinking about it. But oftentimes we don't think about the preciousness of our country. There are too many people out there that seem to want to destroy it on some levels. And also, it's very, very sad what's going on in the world. You know, it really is. But there are still people that make a big difference. And I found something very interesting. You know, there's a lot going on around Gaza and Israel. What a tragedy that was. I mean, when you start thinking about it, thousands and thousands of people have been killed. I mean, there seems to be a few wars breaking out here and there and everywhere. And, you know, I often say that I don't take a side, you know. And what I'm really saying is, it's not that I don't take a side. It's what I'm really saying is that I'm pro-justice and pro-peace. And there has got to be a way to come together. I mean, it feels to me on so many levels like war is becoming obsolete. And in my mind, and trust me, so many of my women friends lately have been debating me. You know, sometimes I feel when I talk to people, there's a feeling of hopelessness. Not only hopelessness, but helplessness. Not only helplessness, but powerless. They feel powerless. You know, it's almost like over there or somewhere else, all the decisions are being made and nobody's really asking us. You know, we go to the polls and we vote for people. In fact, you know, it's another thing about Dr. King that I found was very interesting when it came around to voting. And I had this experience. I was watching television one night and he came on and there was a little clip where he was talking to Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was the president at the time when he was pushing the voting rights bill, when Dr. King was really, really adamant about the voting. And Johnson was trying to make all kinds of deals with him. You know, what if we do this? What if we integrate the schools this way? And on and on. And King looked at Johnson and said, Lyndon, nothing's going to happen unless we get the vote. And I really thought about that. I thought about it very hard, and I thought to myself, I remembered my grandmother. You know, all of a sudden, my grandmother came back to me. My grandmother was an immigrant from Russia, actually from the Ukraine. And they came to America. She was about 17 years old at the time, and they came over on a boat. And her story was that she came with her sister and her mother, and each one of them had two loaves of bread coming over from Europe over to the Americas, escaping the pogroms. And pogroms were actions that the Russians took. They would go into Jewish encampments, and they would just kill children, put them on the, lay them out, and say, get out of here, Jews. I mean, if you ever watch Fiddler on the Roof, that's exactly what my grandmother encountered. She lived in that kind of environment, which was a shtetl. And here she's coming to America. Well, it took her 40 years to finally become a citizen and finally be able to vote. And I remember what like it was yesterday. My family lived within 16 blocks of each other, and we're all going to the polls, you know, and grandma's voting, and everybody's excited. And she gets to the voting booth, and she walks in. And I can't remember what age I was, but I remember so clearly as I watched her walk into the booth, you know, made her vote. She was kind of wore these black shoes. She was kind of going up and down, you know, like she was thinking of how she was going to vote. And she was the presidential race at that time was for President Truman, and all of a sudden, as I had that vision of her and her in the voting booth, it was like there she was, just her and her God, so to speak, was marking this ballot, was making a decision. There was nobody on top of her saying, oh, you have to vote. Nobody had a gun in her head saying, you have to vote this way. It was between her and however she saw her higher power. And I thought that was very interesting. And I really recognized at that moment, and especially listening and watching what was going on between Lyndon Johnson and Dr. Martin Luther King, I actually saw that it's such a sacred thing to vote. Voting is so sacred, and it's so individualized. I mean, nobody can tell you how to vote. When you get in that booth, I mean, I don't care. I actually had this vision of, say, sometimes women's husbands are trying to encourage, no, you got to vote this way, you got to vote that way. Once that person gets into the vote, it's their vote. There's nobody there to influence them. And that's a friend of mine said, that is the basic of democracy. That's what a democracy is all about, that people have a voice. You know, and people say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, folks, if your vote did not count, I want to know why there are certain forces that are working pretty hard to make sure that you don't get there. So it's a lot to think about, and I think it's really, really important to think about that. Well, I have a few announcements today, and I'll share them with you. A very interesting message came across my computer about 2 days ago. It was a group of women that were protesting the wars in that's happening in Israel with Gaza and Israel. And, oh, my God, it's so sad. 28,000 people so far have been killed. Oh, I mean, when you think about it, women and children, I mean, it makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. You know, if war was the answer, I mean, I was born in 1940. We've been warring since the day I came into this world. And we're still warring. We're not only warring with guns and bombs and everything else, but we're warring as individuals with the racist attitudes that are going on in some of these places. Even in our own county, Sonoma County, we have issues that we have to look at. But when I saw this protest, it was about 250 women, and the thing that was so stunning was the fact that they were all in a circle, and the way the cameraman filmed it, he just filmed it all around. In fact, if you go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, you will see the link to the presentation, to the protest. So it's really, really an amazing thing. And I want to talk about it a little bit about it. Here's the information I got. The woman who sent this is a name by the name of Orly Passa, and she's a journalist, and here's what she wrote. She called it Women's Cry. On Friday, December 15th, 2023, dozens, it looked to me, I counted a little over 200 as they went around, dozens of Jewish and Palestinian women staged a unique protest in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is in Israel, calling for an end to the war and demanding a diplomatic agreement. The women sat in silence for an hour in Habina Square, their quiet cry against the cycle of violence and death, urgently calling for a solution of both peoples. Urgently calling for a solution for both peoples. And this is so interesting what they say. Violence begets violence. More desire for revenge. Another generation born and raised to death and hatred. We are fed up with this cycle of blood. Every man and woman on earth wants to live a life of security, dignity, and freedom. Every man and woman deserves such a life. Peace is made between people who disagree. That's interesting. Peace is made between people who disagree, with those whose stories are opposite to yours. Peace is made when we are disgusted with wars and suffering. I like that. Peace is made when we are disgusted with war and suffering. And I have to say, I am disgusted, realizing that there is no other way. We must recognize the humanity. I love this. It just makes me want to cry. We must recognize the humanity in each other and find ways to live together here, despite the bloody history. We must look forward. We have no other choice. We must look forward. We have no other choice. Think of what the choice might be. Do we want to choose annihilation? I mean, come on. And you know what's so interesting? And I love this. It's a woman's cry. And I feel like crying now when I read this and I think of it and I think of the suffering. You know, I think of African-American people. We're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And what did Dr. King say? All we are asking is that America live up to its promise. And that's all these women are asking, to live up to the promise of justice and peace for all. You know, we call ourselves Christians. In the Bible, it says we are all made in God's image. And yet we separate each other. I don't understand that. We are all made in God's image, and yet we separate each other. So there's a lot to think about. And please, I invite you to go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, and look at this. Look at this. It is so inspiring to me. Why it is inspiring? Because these women that are in their circle are taking such a huge risk for their lives. And I think as women, we need to join them and stand them and say, no more war. Well, like I said, today is a day on, not a day off. That's happening today at the Community Baptist Church here in Sonoma County. And it's happening right now. And when Tina Rogers comes in, she's going to talk about it and give us all the information. And also, I got a very interesting email from the National Organization for Women, their national organization in Washington, D.C. And they're urging members of Congress to fund the WIC program, the SNAC program, child care, and rental assistance. Now, you know, think about that. They're urging members of Congress to fund WIC. WIC is a service that is provided for pregnant women to make sure that they have proper food and all kinds of other things. SNAP is also a program. It's a kind of a supplemental to help people with their income. And, of course, child care. I remember when I went back to college in 1970, I was a single parent, and the first thing we tried to do is we tried to get child care, and I couldn't believe it. You think we were asking for $10 million or something, the protest against it, to have it on campus, and then all the excuses that administration had. Amazing how difficult it is to get child care. You know, sometimes people pay as much as $2,500 a month to get child care. I mean, some people aren't even making $2,500 a month. And it's really interesting. In our neighborhood, you know, we see a lot of grandmothers taking care of these younger children. And it's a very difficult task, so it's very important. So I really urge you to go again on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, and I will have the whole article from the NOW organization. I appreciate it if you would read it and write your congressmen, write your senators, tell them what's going on. We need child care. We need to continue the funding to help women, you know, when they're pregnant. I mean, especially all you folks out there that call yourselves pro-life. You know, the WIC program is so important to make sure these fetuses grow healthy and strong. And that's the most important thing. So we really have to pay attention to that. So there's a lot to think about. And I hope, you know, I hope in listening to Women's Spaces that it helps you really learn a few things and maybe think about what's going on. Because a lot's going on in the world, that's for sure. Well, you know, as we always do the show. We start the show with our history is our strength. And before we go into it, one of the things that I think is very important today, like I said, is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, and they're going to be doing at the Community Baptist Church a day off, not a day off, but a day on. And I really want to pay attention. And one of the historical figures in our community is a woman by the name of Carol Lynn Ellis. She was born February 7th, 1937. She was actually 3 years older than me. I remember telling her that she was my elder, and she made her transition on December 21st, 2023. She was one of the founders of the original Martin Luther King celebration that happened. This is their 44th year, if you can believe that. Let me just tell you a little bit about Carol Ellis, and my deep condolences go out to her family. I know it's a big loss to the community, but the woman lived a good life. Not only did she live a good life, but she lived up to one of the most important components that Dr. King talked about, and that was giving service. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Carol Lynn Ellis, she was a local civil rights leader, community organizer, and educator, and she passed away peacefully in her home on December 21st, 2023. She was a longtime Sonoma County educator, and she also was a vice principal at the Rincon Valley Middle School, Comstock Middle School, then principal of Cook Middle School. After retirement, she came out of retirement to accept the job of principal at the former private all-girls Zierstlin High School. Ellis was also a civil rights advocate and was later a trustee of Santa Rosa Junior College. And And she was a powerhouse, you know. I knew Carol. I was very proud to know her, and I was very proud to interview her. In fact, we do have an interview online, and like I said, if you go to Women's Spaces, you can find it. I will list where the link is, and enjoy that interview because it was just a very powerful interview. Well, our last segment, we're going to be doing Our History is Our Strength. I'm hoping that Tina Rogers gets here, but we have Layla here who's going to read her speech, and I'm really excited about that. So here we go. Here's some different birthdays, some different women that we are honoring. January 16th, 1927, that's when she was born, and she made her transition in 1998. That was Estrella Trembley. She was a teacher, a writer, a playwright, a pioneer in Chicano literature, addressed challenges of life in the Southwest, and explored the cultural demands of gender roles and marriage. Boy, that was a big one. I mean, think she's born in 1927. It was only 7 years since we got the vote, and then here she, as a young woman, really struggled for gender roles and alternate marriages. Another woman I think that's very important is on January 17th, 1910, was Edith Green. She was elected to Congress in 1954 and served 9 terms and worked on women's rights, education, and equal pay. Amazing, these women standing up. You know, it's just amazing. Oh, Tina Rogers just came into the studio. Hello, Tina. You're looking all good. I'm so happy to see you. And then one last person we're going to talk about. And I'll tell you something. When I saw the movie 9 to 5, it just blew me away. And Dolly Parton, she was born in 1946, and God bless her. I mean, she really showed what it was like for women in the workforce. You know, at one time, women only were eligible to be teachers or secretaries or nurses. If they were lucky, a nurse was even a little bit difficult sometimes for women to be able to get into because of the cost. But what's so interesting, when she wrote that 9 to 5, and she actually wrote the song, I just thought it was just amazing. So happy birthday, Dolly Parton. She was born January 19th, 1946, and she's still here with us. And the most wonderful thing about Dolly to me is Dolly is as tiny as my mother was, and boy, she just has a voice. And my favorite song of hers is called Island in the Stream, Isles in the Stream, that she sang with Kenny Rogers. And I could play that song over and over and over and never get bored with it. It's so amazing. Well, there's a lot to think about, a lot to explore. And again, we are celebrating the birthday of one of my heroes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I remember the day that he was assassinated. I sat there, I froze for about an hour, and I said, this is not happening. I remember when Malcolm X was shot, and I said, oh, my God, this isn't happening. And I remember I was pregnant at the time when John F. Kennedy was killed, and I remember we had music piped in, and all of a sudden the announcement came, and the same thing happened to me. I just froze. I just could not believe. And sometimes I can't believe what's going on in today's world. I mean, one day maybe. I think if we all collectively got together and said enough is enough and started electing leaders, paying attention. Remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about my grandmother and how sacred their vote is. Well, Dr. King understood that very well. Many, many people put their lives on the line so they could vote. Many, many people came to this country and put their lives on the line so they could live in a democracy and have some sense of freedom. Well, a lot to think about. We're going to take, we're going to take a musical break now, Ken, if that's okay with you. And the song I'll be playing is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., sung by Alaza Hava. And when we return, joining me in the studio is sitting right across from me is Tina Rogers. She's one of the organizers of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday celebration. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And also Lila Parrish, who's a senior. In fact, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start with Lila. She's been sitting here very, very patiently. We're going to start with her. And so let's go ahead, Ken, and let's go ahead and play that song.
Martin Luther King was a preacher man. He fought the system and the Ku Klux Klan. Served his time down in Birmingham. Fighting all his life, he never raised a hand. August 28, 1963, he said, I have a dream for equality, for brotherhood and justice for you and me. This ain't a Jim Crow society. The civil rights movement was a type of revolution. Open up our minds to conscious evolution, so we could pave a way to a common solution.
King. Oh my goodness. I mean, it just warms my heart when I think of him, and it also saddens my heart what happened to him. For you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinion of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm really excited. Joining me in the studio is Lila Parrish, who is a senior
Lila.
Layla Parrish, who is a senior at Rancho Cotati High School here in Rohnert Park, and also president of the Black Student Union, and 17 years old, and what I would consider a true activist. Well, welcome, Layla. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi. Thank you.
I'm so glad to see you. You know, how do you like being? This is the first time you're on the radio.
Yeah, it's a new experience. I've done, like, podcast before, but I've never done this, so it's fun, or it's cool to experience it.
Well, it's really an honor to have you. Really, it is. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about this. I mean, here you are, 17 years old. I mean, when I remember I was 17, I could barely look anybody in the eye, let alone get in front of an audience and go into a contest. I mean, that was really amazing. So talk about this speech. I know it was based on the theme of the event, and talk about how you got involved and what inspired you to even try out and even to go for it.
Well, I think what inspired me to, like, start, like, is I did an internship in San Francisco, and it really, like, opened my eyes to, like, different experiences, and like it was an art internship, so like how art and like speaking can help like create social change. And then I got involved in the BSU at my school, and so that was really, that brought me a lot of opportunities that I don't think I would have had without it.
So it sounds like you put your best foot forward, join these groups, and all of a sudden getting a level of confidence, knowing that having a voice and speaking out is very important. What was the process that you went through to be able to actually write the speech? I know you worked with, I believe it was Andrea that came in, and she did a whole series of information helping young people like yourself to write their speech. Talk about the process and some of the feelings you had when all of a sudden you realized that, hey, I won, I'm going to speak. Mm-hmm. How was that for you?
So when I started the first write, it was at a workshop at the library, and it was really just taking a bunch of notes and brainstorming and learning how to write an essay, and from that I took the notes and I started writing down my thoughts and adding things and taking things away. So it really helped me to have that foundation of the notes and a pre-write in my head before I started writing the speech.
You know, I'm noticing, even being in the radio, you're a little bit nervous, there might be other students out there listening. What is it inside you? How do you overcome that? I mean, how were you able to walk on that stage and just do it?
I think just knowing my goals, I really want to get into Spelman. Knowing
that's a college, though.
Yeah, Spelman College. It's a HBCU. It's an all-women's school. And, knowing, that I have goals to, do something or, change, change, the way I'm living right now, it really helps me to just kind of do it.
Well, Leah, you are an inspiration. You
Thank
really
you.
Are. I mean, when I sit and I'm sitting across to you and I think of 17 years old and you have that kind of goals and desires, and that you're willing, for students out there listening, the most important thing that you're saying to me is that you were willing to go to a workshop and say, hey, teach me, help me, help me to become stronger, help me to become better. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of young people don't want to do that. So you are, in my mind, are an inspiration. So let's get into it. Let's do the speech. Announce the title. Tell us the title of the speech, and then just go for it, and we will sit back and enjoy you. So, folks, you're going to be listening to this speech by Leah Parrish, and it was done at the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration last night. I think there are over 200 people in the audience, and also I think there are about 50 on the Zoom. It was just amazing. So go ahead, Leah. It's your show.
Okay, so the speech is untitled, so I'll just start reading it. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. That quote by Martin Luther King says something very important when it comes to activism and its relation to our world. The oppression of all communities is entangled, even if it presents differently in other communities. The only way to advance is by advocating for all marginalized communities. For this to work, radical love needs to be demonstrated. In MLK's activism, he stood for this fact, and that's what made his work not only successful but admirable as well. Most don't remember King as a radical, but the issues he cared about and his approach to solving those issues is what made him radical. He knew his views were unpopular, but still saw the importance of fighting for what he believed was right. An element of radical love is inclusion, being able to bring everyone in and advocating for the rights of all, even if we don't fully understand what the struggles of others is like. It's carrying the weight of all people who experience oppression and being willing to do the best for those people. Another element of radicalism is having confidence in what you believe in, no matter what others may have to say. Martin Luther King Jr. represented both of these values in his 1967 speech against the Vietnam War. His speech expanded his activism internationally and broke off the notion that civil rights needed to stay domestic. Even with the threat of losing allies, he continued with the speech because it was his true belief, and in his heart he prioritized all groups of people, making that speech very important to his legacy. Another example of King's radicalism was his view on capitalism. The way he spoke on capitalism was and still is wildly unpopular. However, his insight connected the dots of economic inequality with racial inequality. On March 30th, 1967, King spoke at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He said the evils of capitalism are as real as the evils of militarism and racism. The problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power. He also disputed the idea that capitalism was developed from hard work and independence, in his speech, The Three Evils. Again, we have deluded ourselves into believing the myth that capitalism grew and prospered out of the Protestant ethic of hard work and sacrifices. Capitalism was built on the exploitation of black slaves and continues to thrive on the exploitation of the poor, both black and white, both here and abroad. People don't comment on these opinions of Martin Luther King, and I believe it is because it is easier to label the progress he made as non-radical. It takes accountability off of individuals and allows us the luxury of not thinking critically about the injustices of our world and how we should solve them. Generally, people do not remember these speeches from Martin Luther King. In fact, most people don't remember him as a radical activist at all. This view of him allows people the ability to forget how King was able to be so successful in his fight for civil rights. Without King's radicalism, true change would probably not have been possible. No change can be made if activists are afraid of the opinion or backlash of others. King realized this and was able to make a change. He called for his community to make radical decisions in their everyday lives, and he created a system for himself and his peers that was accessible and revealed the corruption of racism using nonviolent acts. He used his values of peace and nonviolence as a way to create a large-scale movement and change the way black people were seen and treated. In our present-day world, I believe the most effective way to make a change is using radical love, treating people better on a day-to-day basis, and doing small radical actions that are accessible to large parts of our community and that are examples of how people should be treated. I think everyone holding themselves accountable about how their treatment of others affects themselves is the best way to make even more progress in our everyday world. In our present and future, we should view activism in the light of, if I don't stand, who will? We should also view all discrimination as equal and affecting our communities, whether directly or indirectly, as that is the only way we'll be able to truly make a change in our world. We should also realize that there is no use trying to water down our beliefs for the sake of others. What we have to say is important, and not fighting for everything we believe in will lead to progress in nothing. Just like King told his full truth, so should we. In all of this, we should still be open to learning and supporting all communities around us.
I am inspired.
Thank you.
Not only did you read it so well, but it is so beautifully written. And I know Ken, who is a stickler, he's my editor. He's sitting here saying, wow, this is a 17-year-old woman. I just congratulations, Leah.
Thank you.
That was really beautiful. Well, we've come to the end of the segment. Is there anything? We have your mother here. What's your mother's name?
Erica.
Hi, Anta. She's taking pictures and I couldn't believe it. I thought there were two sisters walking. It was amazing. Congratulations, Leah. Congratulations. That's a good job. And I have to tell my listening audience that I am selfish. I wanted to bring her in, and I listened to the speech last night, but I'll tell you, right now, listening to you and having the nice, quiet studio with none of the distractions, it is so beautifully written. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And one of the things that you said, one of the most important things, the way we make changes is through radical love of one another. Love. Love is a four-letter word. Hate is a four-letter word. But I'll tell you something. It takes a lot more energy to hate and a lot less energy to love. So thank you so much, Leah Parrish, who was the winner from the Martin Luther King speech contest. Congratulations to you, which happened last night. And I wish you much success in all your things. And I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Children are our future, and in this moment, sitting in this studio, I have faith. I feel that the youth is strong, coming forward, and the most important thing to recognize, you have a voice. You have a voice. You have a right to be heard. And I gave her a little copy of the pledge that I encourage you to read that. And no matter what, do not let anybody shake you off that mission that you have. So thank you so much. And I want to thank your mother for bringing you in. Well, I'm just so excited. I mean, I just got chills listening to that beautiful speech. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and then when we get finished with the musical break, we're going to have Tina Rogers on, who is one of the organizers for the last night's event, and we're going to get all the ins and outs. And I hope she has some good gossip or maybe a little something good to tell us that we don't know. So we're going to take this beautiful break, and as I just, this to me, I love this song by Bunny Hull. It's called Dream a World, and that's exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King said. He said, I have a dream. And if you're up there, Dr. King, listening, all these folks in the studio share that dream with you, and that's for peace on earth, goodwill to all, and total equality for all of us human beings on this planet. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's play that song.
Dream a world, spread your wings, you can fly. Dream a world, the world is waiting for you and I. Everybody's got hopes, everybody's got dreams, no matter how small, no matter how big they seem. You can make it happen, you can make it shine. You don't need a starry night, all you need is a little time. Everybody's got the freedom, everybody's got a chance. Everybody's got the power, just believe you can. Oh, dream, dream a world. Someday, and your heart is in the right place, and you try and try again. You don't give up, you keep on going. You should've win. If you've got something to believe in, you reach the mountaintop. Standing on love's shoulders, let your vision take you up. Everybody's got the power, everybody's got the chance. Everybody's got the freedom, just believe you can. Oh, dream, dream a world, spread your wings, you can fly. Dream, dream a world, there's a whole world waiting for you and I. See it in your mind.
What a song, Dream a World. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and with me at the studio is Tina Rogers, and we're going to talk about the event, the Martin Luther King event that happened last night. But before we go on, Leah, I have a few words to say. Go ahead.
You told me to say hi to Randy.
Right. Hi. Hey, Randy. We're saying hi to you from a wonderful, beautiful young woman who just read that great speech. Well, welcome, Tina. Welcome here to Women's Spaces. You know, Tina Rogers has been one busy bee. I mean, when we watched that film last night, when we watched the Martin Luther King, she was just all over the place. Plus, she was an excellent, excellent MC. So let's get into this. You know, what was... There was an event last night for Martin Luther King. What was that all about? And tell us a little bit about the event, and what did you hope that folks walked away? You had people on Zoom as well as on YouTube and all kinds of different ways. What did you hope people walked away with, and what was the whole purpose of the event?
Well, the whole purpose of the event was to celebrate Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his birthday celebration. And here in Sonoma County, that's what we do. We've been doing this for a while.
44 years.
It's been about that. You know, as people age, you know, it could be off a little bit because he was assassinated in 1968. So the churches have always been celebrating that. But to bring it out to the public is like, you know, a little bit different. And then here in Sonoma County, bringing it out to the public is more so, Carol Lynn Ellis that helped bring it out to the students.
Yeah, I did a whole announcement on Carol at the beginning
of
the show.
Yeah, right. And so at Montgomery yesterday evening, you know, we supported the students. We supported Layla Parrish. We supported, you know, Layla Pinero, the teen essay winner. We supported the children's art programs that was, like, submitted from not only the Sonoma library systems, they held workshops. And, you know, SCO had sent out a lot of information. And we had a lot of winners. We had winners from Roseland and Brook Hill. So it was about the students. And the students at Montgomery High. And the dance students. The choir. You know, it was about them. It was about us as a community coming to support those children.
Well, congratulations, because you definitely did a great job. You know, it's so interesting to me because one of the things, you know, that I knew very, very clearly that Dr. King supported the ending of the Vietnam War. I mean, and that was something that was kind of like something that was not too positive for him, and yet he still came out. In fact, I just saw the life story of Muhammad Ali, and there's a whole scene where Dr. King and Muhammad Ali come together. And so when I looked at with their theme this year, King the Radical, we must learn to live together as community or perish together. It really fits in with all that I'm seeing. Tell me a little bit about what that meant. What was the idea behind that theme?
Well, as a committee, the MLK committee, we gather and we brainstorm on a theme and from ideas, and everyone researches and we basically judge that. So for this year, we have King the Radical. We must learn to live together as community or perish together. That is actually kind of like, you know, taken a little bit because it was like we must learn to live together as brothers
and sisters.
Well, they didn't say that. King didn't say that.
Well, no,
you know, yeah,
well,
yeah. Paraphrase. Yeah. And we can perish as fools. So if you're doing a poster art for children and we don't want to put that theme out and, you know, the children write that on there or talk about anything. But what does it actually mean? It's the truth. We're a community. Young, old. Different backgrounds, immigrants, non-immigrants. We're here for a common thing, and that's what we wanted everyone to take away from the event last night. Number one, it was held at Montgomery High School for a reason. One, to bring healing, love, positive energy, letting the students and the faculty and the staff and everyone that lives there and works there and goes to school there in that community, that we as a community, we support you. We are here. We are here for nonviolence. It's not just about social justice. It's about nonviolence.
So what was the healing about? What happened at Montgomery? Just give us a little background.
Well, we had some wonderful teens participate. We had the Black Student Union, BSU, do amazing job supporting and putting on things. We had the administration and staff and people really get involved in the community. We had different community members come in and bring the healing, bring the love, bring the song, bring the dance, bring the art. That's healing.
Well, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me was when you had the Black Student Unions stand up at the event, and they had a chance. There was the third young man that made a little speech. He was really, really, it just really, my heart just went out to him. And one of the things that it really struck me is how when students become involved, it builds their confidence. And by having something like this and giving them so-called center stage, because, you know, Lord knows, I remember when I was a teenager, nobody gave me the center stage. It was like, be quiet, go over there, and don't make trouble. So I think, it reminds me of John Lewis, you know, make good trouble. You know, I mean, the whole thing, the whole idea of bringing the youth in was really very, very powerful to me. And this young man, if you ever see him, tell him that he really impressed me with what he said. And what he said is by being part of these groups, he was able to build his confidence and he was able to speak out. And I think that's why it's so important for young people to hear this, to get involved, to work with your peers. You know, there's so much anger going on and resentment or separation with the races and all that stuff. No, stop. Come together. We are a community. If we don't come together, we're going to perish. Well, you know, important part of the event, like we had with Layla reading that wonderful, wonderful speech she had. You know, how did that go about? I mean, reach out to the high schools? How did it happen? Tell us a little history.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. You know, the Sonoma County Martin Luther King birthday celebration has been going on for decades. It originally started like way back, you know, in the 80s, early 81, and prior to that, to go out into the public. But there has always been an oratory competition, a contest. Dr. King, he was a speaker. He's a doctor, a reverend doctor, a doctor of theology. So it's from the church. So that's always been going on. We've always had the poster art with Carol Ellis, Pat Clark. These women that are educators here in Santa Rosa City School District from decades, retired from that. These were people that volunteered after they got out of work. They recruited people like Melissa Willoughby. They recruited people like Attila Nagy. These people came in 20, 30 years ago when they were younger. They're now in their 70s. But what this is all about, and how do we recruit the kids? SCO participated. Sonoma Libraries reached out. They already were doing this for like 2 years, having workshops and doing the poster art. So we were doing the teen essay. We wanted to bring that this year. We were brainstorming about different people that we can have come in, writers, and we, you know, mentioned this in conversations with people in the public. And then we got Dr. Andrea Hall, which I understand will be here, you know, thank you for having her in February. And she and I co-facilitated 8 libraries where we did these workshops, where there were worksheets. We talked about introductions, body, conclusion. There were teachers that came out from Monroe. There were different people from the community that came out and was like, my child is like in sports right now. I'm going to bring this information to them.
Well, you know, what's beautiful about that is the involvement of all the other people. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of our segment. And, you know, Tina, I want to make sure that people know that you are doing some really special workshops. You call it Catch a Beat. I love that. Well, that's how you are. You got the beat, baby. Catch a Beat. So I'm going to tell us a little bit about that. What is going on and what are you going to be doing?
Thank you. So as a multicultural arts educator using music, dance, art, history, social science, I bring these type of programs into the schools from pre-K to 12th grade around Northern California. I also, for like probably over 12 years, been doing it in the libraries throughout California. So now for the very first time, I'm officially doing Catch a Beat here in my hometown, and I welcome myself back to Sonoma County. So I thank the Sonoma County Libraries for having the program. I've been San Jose, Davis, all these places. So the next one is Roseland Library this Thursday for storytelling at 10 a.m. Catch a Beat. Come see that. Bring your child.
Well, also, I want people to know on www.womenspaces.com, we will have the flyer, the whole flyer with all the dates. And like you said, you're going to be in the library. And one last thing. Today is our day off. Just give us where it's going to be happening. It's happening right now. Tell us the address of the Community Baptist Church and the time that it's going to be happening.
So today is a day on, not a day off, at Community Baptist Church. I think it's 3501 Sonoma Avenue. It's just past Doyle Park if you're heading off of Mendocino or Santa Rosa Avenue. It's on the right-hand side. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There are resources. There is free food, diapers, different things. There's vendors and things like that. And also, not only that, day on, not a day off is held at your local parks. And a day on, day off is help your elders. Mow a lawn. Go shopping. Help people. Whatever you can do for someone else, that's what a day on and not a day off is. Thank you, Elaine.
Well, Tina, thank you so much. And a special shout out to you for all the work you've done with the youth, working, helping them write the essays, getting together with Andrea, doing the MC. For God's sakes, where do you get all that energy?
Carol Wallace.
Well, that's it, folks. That's it for our show right now. You know, it's been a real honor to have Tina Rogers here, who was one of the coordinators for the Martin Luther King Jr. birthday that happened last night, celebration, and also Leah Parrish, who was who gave us the honor of reading her wonderful, wonderful speech. It was just an absolute joy. I want to do a shout out for all these wonderful people who participated. Again, condolences to Carol Ellis's family. She did amazing thing bringing this, putting the youth as a high priority, and also to Leah's mother for bringing her here and for signing all the forms, and for everybody out there, you know, remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And, you know, also, I just want to let folks know that Dr. King, this is actually Dr. King's birthday today. He would have been 95 years old. A reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be airing again tonight at 11 p.m. I get to listen to my own show, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's so important. It really is so important to acknowledge some of the things that happen in our community. You know, this to me was a very, very special show, to be honest with you, you know, because I really believe in our youth. You know, when I grew up, they told me on my kindergarten report card, children should be seen and not heard. And you imagine that. It took me until I was 40 years old till I found a voice. So it's so wonderful to sit across the aisle from a 17-year-old young woman and hear her thoughts and her ideas about freedom, about love, about community. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 15th, 2024.